The reviver of Deen, the reviver of Deen, the reviver of Deen, the reviver of Deen.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك واصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك واصحابك يا حبيب
الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك واصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك واصحابك يا نور الله
Hare Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal Today it is our first episode of our new beautiful program Reviver of Deen Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal What does it mean by Reviver of the Deen What is our theme What is our topic What are we going to be talking about Inshallah Azza wa Jal I'll explain everything to you What's going to happen in this program I will explain that. But before that, inshallah, azawajal, let's listen to the recitation of the glorious Quran and a kalam. And then, inshallah, we'll come back and we'll start our program, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا صدق الله العظيم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم جو مانگنا sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allah mustafa ke kadmon mein maut de de allah mustafa ke kadmon mein maut de de madfan bane sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sallallahu ala muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam unki mahak ne dil ke gunche khila diye mahak ne dil ke unki مہک نے دل کے غنچے کھلا دیے ہیں جس راہ چل گئے ہیں ہاں جس راہ چل گئے ہیں کوچے بسا دیے ہیں جس راہ چل گئے ہیں ان کی کھلا دیے ہیں ان کی مہک نے دل کے غنچے کھلا دیے ہیں جس راہ چل گئے ہیں ہاں جس راہ چل گئے ہیں کوچے بسا دیے دل کے جب آ گئی ہے جوش رحمت پہ ان کی آنکھیں جب آ گئی ہے جوش رحمت پہ ان کی آنکھیں جلتے بجا دیے ہیں ہاں جلتے بجا دیے ہیں روتے ہنسا دیے ہیں جلتے بجا دیے ہیں روتے ہنسا دیے ہیں ان کی مہک نے دل کے ایک دل ہمارا کیا ہے آزار اس کا کتنا ایک دل ہمارا کیا ہے آزار اس کا کتنا تم نے تو چلتے پھرتے ہاں تم نے تو چل پھرتے مردے جلا دیے ہیں تم نے تو چلتے پھرتے مردے جلا دیے ہیں ان کی مہک نے دل کے ان کے رنج میں ہو جب یاد آ گئے ہو آقا جب یاد آ گئے ہو سب غم بلا دیے جب یاد آ گئے ہو آقا جب یاد آ گئے ہو سب غم بلا دیے ہیں ان کی مہک نے دل کے میرے کریم سے گر قطرہ کسی نے مانگا میرے کریم سے گر قطرہ کسی کسی نے مانگا دریا بہا دیے ہیں ہاں دریا بہا دیے ہیں دربے بہا دیے ہیں دریا بہا دیے ہیں دربے بہا دیے ہیں ان کی مہک نے دل کے اللہ کیا جہنم اب بھی نہ سرد ہوگا اللہ کیا جہنم اب بھی نہ سرد ہوگا اللہ کیا جہنم اب بھی نہ سرد ان کی مہک نے دل کے ملک سخن کی شاہی تم کو رضا مسلم ملک سخن کی شاہی تم کو رضا مسلم سمت آ گئے ہو ہاں جس سمت آ گئے ہو سیکے بٹھا دیے ہیں جس سمت آ گئے ہو سیکے بٹھا دیے ہیں ان کی مہک نے دل کے دل کے غنچے کھلا دیے جس راہ چل گئے ہو کوچے بسا دیے
ماشاء اللہ عزوجل ویری بیوٹیفل کلام شعیب بھائی ماشاء اللہ عزوجل Which personality are we talking about? It's the beautiful month of Rabiul Thani, Rabiul Akhir. And who do we talk about? We talk about Sayyiduna Ghawse Pak, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, mashallah, both our guests are here now. So we can officially start our program. Ji, Harun bhai, are you all plugged in and everything?
Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen ala
kulli hal. MashaAllah, Jazakallah khaira. Today the topic we're going to learn about or talk about is about the love of worship of Sayyiduna Ghawse Pak radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, his love with Allah Azza wa Jal. Obviously when you love Allah Azza wa Jal, you're going to worship him the most you can. And this is what we're going to talk about. And I want to start off with Sayyiduna Ghawse Pak radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Even, you know, it says that when Sayyiduna Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he would go to the madrasa, he would hear the angels that give way to the friend of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there's so many beautiful, you know, aspects of his life that we're going to be discussing today. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. Harun bhai, I'm going to start off with yourself, Inshallah Azza wa Jal. We're going to be talking about love of worship, love of Allah Azza wa Jal, of Sayyiduna Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi alayhi.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Topics that we have are truly amazing because what we have to recognize, we've just had the beautiful month of Milad-e-Pak.
Subhanallah.
And we now move into the beautiful month of Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, there are different types of walis of Allah Azza wa Jal, friends of Allah Azza wa Jal. And some people, they through their worship, through their amal upon the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they gain this great status. And there are others who, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, are born the walis of Allah.
Subhanallah. Like Sayyidina Ghawse Pak, rahmatullah alayhi.
Now, Hazrat Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is truly an amazing wali of Allah Azza wa Jal. And his status and his maqam, his high rank, his position, it truly can be seen right from the beginning.
Subhanallah.
Because he is born, I mean, I can go even further than that, before he was born, because if one looks at his lineage, he is a Hasni Husseini Sayyid, so that his lineage is goes back to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And then if one looks at his parents, they were of great and amazing status. Then if one looks at, you know, his father, rahmatullahi alayhi, was such an amazing, pious wali of Allah Azza wa Jal that, you know, the story is, we mentioned many times on Madni channel, that he's fasting for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And there is a apple going along in the river and he eats it. And he's the riwayats say he was hungry for a few days. He'd been fasting constantly. When I say constantly, obviously from dawn till dusk, but he didn't have much to eat in between. And he eats this apple and then realizes that I don't know where this has come from. So he travels along the river and eventually finds an orchard. He concludes that it's come from that orchard. And when he goes into the orchard and he tells the person there, the Buzurg rahmatullahi recognizes straight away that this must be a wali of Allah Zawajal, who's traveled all this way just to find out where this apple has come from. And then he spends time working with in the orchard. And then eventually this pious Buzurg rahmatullahi say that you need to marry my daughter. And you remember the riwayat says that she is blind, she is deaf, etc. But he agrees. And when he sees Hazrat Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu's Ammijan, the mother, the pious lady, it's not as he thought she would be. So he runs out of the room and says, and the Buzurg rahmatullahi say that the reason I describe her in that way is her eyes have never seen a non-mahram. Her ears have never heard the voice of a non-mahram. You know, she spent her life in the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, and she is, you know, that level of taqwa and piety. And so when these two hastis come together, from one angle, it's not surprising that you get a gem like Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And, you know, when it comes to closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal, these great pious friends of Allah, and this is it's a beautiful term because a lot of us don't understand what the term wali means. Mm-hmm. But when we say friend of Allah, it gives us a better understanding because what they've done is through their closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal, through obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal, they have become friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, which is a truly, you know, amazing
even
status.
Even from mashallah, Tawfiq is already as well, you know, even from a young age, Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, you know, that love he had for, you know, that love was showing through the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. When he was 18 years old, the famous incident when he left for Baghdad Sharif, you know, so that shows to you that Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak rahmatullahi alayhi, even he was younger, there were signs that, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal loved him. And now when he's at that age where he understands everything, now what happens is he's showing that love towards Allah Ta'ala by ibadat. You know, very famous incidents as well where he spent 25 years in the jungles in the worship of Allah.
Subhanallah. Hafsab, if you look at love, love is, you can say, the most pleasing emotion in a human
Subhanallah.
Life.
Subhanallah.
And the most beautiful form of love is to love Allah Almighty.
Subhanallah.
And if you look at it as a form of our life, we stay away from sins due to the fear of Allah Almighty, because we fear the punishment of the hellfire, and we worship Allah Almighty and do good deeds and we get closer to Allah Ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the bigger concept that we have. We have love for Allah Almighty and we have hope for paradise. But if you look at it overall, love between a worshipper and the creator, now this is something which is very satisfying for the hearts. It fills your heart with love and affection, and especially if you know that Allah Ta'ala loves you.
Subhanallah.
Now, if you have that concept that Allah Almighty loves you, and how much He loves you, if you ponder upon those favors of Allah Ta'ala, you know, it brings a total different feeling,
you know,
in the heart.
The thing is, you know, when we say that we love Allah, I love Allah, it's totally different when you say that Allah Ta'ala loves me.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. You know, there's one of the beautiful names of Allah Ta'ala, which is known as Al-Wadud. Yeah, the most loving, the most affectionate, you know, the one who loves a lot. You know, loving Allah Ta'ala is not just about saying, you know, picking up a slogan and say, no, I love Allah, I love Allah, I love Allah. Yeah, all of these words are beautiful as well. Yeah, but it's more to it. Yeah, love of Allah is about acting upon His commands, obeying His orders, worshipping Him in the true form, liking those things that Allah Ta'ala loves, and disliking those things that Allah Ta'ala dislikes.
Allah.
And it's like, it's a way of life, basically.
Yeah.
You know, Allah, when you say I love Allah Ta'ala, it means that you need to live your whole life according to the wish of Allah Ta'ala, according to the commands of Allah Ta'ala. So it's a huge subject. Yeah, and today we are talking about the life of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You know, this individual, this personality is such who devoted his whole life in the love of Allah Ta'ala. And the example that we just mentioned, you know, currently, you know, what do they show? They show that how much Huzur Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu loves Allah Ta'ala. And this is something that you gain by sitting in the gatherings of the pious people.
Yes,
and in fact, not just sitting in the gatherings of pious people, that's a very important matter. That's something that we can talk about as well, inshallah. But here we're talking about you gain this love of Allah Ta'ala by just remembering those pious people.
Subhanallah.
What are we doing today? You know, so many centuries after, we're sitting here, we are remembering the lives of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak, Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What does that do? That brings us, that shows us the importance of love of Allah Ta'ala.
You know, the Buzurgan Adin have said, when you mention about the pious people, Allah Ta'ala's mercy descends upon you as well. And you know, Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala, his love towards his creator Azza wa Jalla is that, you know, when he is studying, you know, like Arumbe, just imagine if you're studying, you go through a lot of difficulties, what happens is, you know, we give up. But for 25 years, staying in a state where there's no food, there's a famine, and yet he survives on trees, leaves.
That famous saying regarding that incident that you just mentioned, Huzur Ghawse Pak radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at the time of dire, you know, difficulty, you know, what did he used to say? Inna ma'al usri yusra. And this was, you can say, the words that he used to use, the tool he used to carry on in his day-to-day routine. And what is that? It's the love of Allah Ta'ala. Knowing, you know, in your heart that Allah is with you. Allah is aware of your situation. Whatever difficulty you're going through, Allah is aware, and it is Allah who will take you out from here.
SubhanAllah, that's a beautiful metaphor for the topic we had the other day about calamities. And Sayyidi Hazur Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, their life Mubarak gives us that. So, but I'm going to come back to something else that Tawfiq very, very beautifully mentioned, because a lot of us, we recognize or we try to develop that love for our Creator Allah Azza wa Jal, but very few of us actually think about it the other way around. You remember the famous Haditha Mubarakah where, you know, when you study in namaz, think about that Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm watching Allah Azza wa Jal. But if you can't, then think that Allah Azza wa Jal is watching me. There was a Buzurg Rahmatullah Alayh who had a slave girl. And one night she sat on the prayer mat and she's saying, Ya Allah, for the love you have for me, grant me this.
Right.
Ya Allah, for the love you have for me, give me this. Ya Allah, for the love you have for me, bless me with this. And the Buzurg Rahmatullah Alayh said, how are you making dua? You should be saying, for the love I have for you, you say. And she goes, no, there can be doubt in my love, because my love is naqas. But Allah Azza wa Jalla must love me for me to get up in the middle of the night and prostrate to my Creator. And it just reminded me, what you said was very beautiful, that Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu was at that maqam of spiritual perfection that Allah Azza wa Jalla had granted him, that it wasn't the love he had for Allah Azza wa Jalla that was in front of him, but it was what Allah Azza wa Jalla was blessing him with. I'm going to come back to the question you asked about the worship. And, you know, this is the beauty of our pious predecessors. When you look at their life, there is so much to learn. Today, you know, somebody reads 40 namaz, yeah, and they think, you know, I'm on the road, I'm doing it, you know. And the life of Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala teaches us that it's not the worship that should be inside you. You should be grateful for the opportunity to worship. And you remember that famous attack when the shaitan came, and he he was in the form of a cloud. And Hazrat Ghawsi Azam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi was passing by a jungle, and he said, he came in the form of a cloud and he said, "I am your Lord. I have accepted all your worships.
Allah,
you do not need to worship anymore." And Hazrat Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu anhu straight away thought, you know, the best of creation, Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was never said to them. Who am I? I'm nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And straight away he read, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And the cloud burst open, and it was the shaitan. And the shaitan said, he said, Abdul Qadir, I have led many walis astray in this way.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu
yeah?
Akbar.
But it is your knowledge that has saved you. Now here is a very, very important lesson, because a lot of the time we defer to our knowledge. We think, I'm skillful, I'm clever, and I'm everything else.
I know it all.
Yes, that might but Hazrat Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu not only answered the shaitan with a slap that he's going to remember till the day of judgment, but also taught us a very important lesson as well. Hazrat Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam said, this is your second attack. That was your first one, because you want me to be proud of my knowledge. It is not my knowledge that has saved me. It is the mercy of my Rabb, it's the fazl of Allah Azza wa Jal that has saved me from your attack. Knowledge doesn't save it. And the scholars write that, you know, one of the interpretations was, Azul Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu anhu was saying that if knowledge was enough to save you, you were very knowledgeable.
Right.
The shaitan was. But it wasn't. And so when it comes to worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, now Azul Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu anhu, the question you asked, Afasab, was his worship. What can you say about the worship of a person who's born in Ramzan and then doesn't drink milk during the day and fasts during the day as a child?
Subhanallah.
You know,
Subhanallah.
I mean, we worship Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, the Quran says roze afarz is farz when you're baligh and everything else. But what do you say about the worship of a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal who the day he's born is fasting? Oh,
yeah. Hafsa, if you look at love, love is something that we have to nurture.
Yeah.
We have to, you know, do certain acts. We have to keep boosting it. We have to see, somehow keep growing it. And in life, there will be moments where you will slack, you will have slumps, you will go down. You know, you think, you know, you've distanced yourself from this particular love. But you need to bring it back.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's something that it won't stay on one particular level. It will go up and down. Yeah, but there's so many ways, there's so many tools that Awliya Allah, the pious men of Allah, the great Muslims have given to us. Some tips that if we follow those rules, those principles, inshallah, this love that we have in our hearts for Allah Almighty, this will grow in our hearts, inshallah. And with time, especially by studying the life of the great Muslims of the past, this love, you know, you'll get that extra willpower, this extra energy and istiqamah as well, inshallah,
sure,
in this.
Sure.
One of them you just touched upon is, and this is one of the key rule or key way of increasing love for Allah Ta'ala, and that is reciting the glorious Quran.
Subhanallah.
Yeah. What is Quran? Yeah, Quran is the book for the whole mankind, is the book of guidance.
Subhanallah.
Yeah, and another way to look at Quran is the kalam of Allah Ta'ala. Yeah, are the words. So if you want to increase your love for Allah Ta'ala, read those words. Now read those words, you know, bring them on your tongue, or listen to those words from a good Ahl Sunnah Qari. And if you can, not just read the Quran, but understand the Quran.
Yes, sure.
That's something that we generally, you know, even those people who do read the Quran, they don't focus on this area. Now we read the Quran, for example, Ramadan comes, now we have a target, you know, inshallah this Ramadan, I'm going to recite one Quran Pak. Some people who have more energy, they say two Quran Pak, five Quran Pak. But very rare people, very, you know, few people who have that mindset that I want to read the Quran with translation and commentary as well. Now, alhamdulillah, in this day and age, you will find many translations and commentaries from the Ahl Sunnah scholars as well.
Alhamdulillah.
Now, one of the latest commentary that's available, especially in the Urdu language, is Tafsir Surat Al-Junan.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah? And reading Quran with translation, you know, and understanding it from the commentary, this is so superior that if you look at the whole concept of the Quran came so we understand the message,
yeah,
so we can act upon the message. So not just to read, although there's no doubt about this, reading the Quran, touching the Quran, you know, looking at the Quran, all these are forms of ibadat and they're so important. But when you weigh it down, you know, if you one side you're reading the Quran, on the other side you're reading it and understanding the Quran, yeah, there's no doubt, the scholars mention that reading and understanding the Quran, even for example, I remember one Mufti Sahib, a very authentic Sunni scholar, says that reading one ruku of the Holy Quran with commentary and understanding it, with if you do this, this is more superior than reading 50 Quran Pak.
MashaAllah. Yeah,
this shows you the importance of understanding the Quran Pak. So those people, you know, who have, you know, they can read Urdu language or can or understand the language, you know, I really recommend, you know, this is one of the key ways, yeah, to understand. Okay, for example, there might be people, they might say, okay, I don't know how to recite the Quran yet. But you know, you'll find people, you know, maybe Hafiz Ahmed Haroon, but you might be aware of some elderly people, you know, from your family or far relatives, that they don't know how to read the Quran. But what do they do? Every day, they'll open the Quran and they'll just put you know, move the fingers on each line. And they will probably read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. They will try to, you know, spend some time with Quran Pak, and this is a very important tool to build that connection or to increase that love for Allah Ta'ala.
MashaAllah. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, you are watching our program Reviver of the Deen. Alhamdulillah, Azzawajal, it's a new program that we've started on the life, the seerat of Sayyiduna Murshidi Ghawse Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. We're going to listen to a Munkabat, a Kalam, inshallah, Azzawajal, and then inshallah we'll come back and we'll talk about the topic, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim.
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله وسلم عليك يا حبيب الله سرکار غوث اعظم نظر Oh,
سب اولیاء مراتی کیا خوب ہے نظارہ سرکار غوثِ اعظم نظرِ کرم خدا جولی کو میری بھر دو میرا جولی کو میری بھر دو یا اس جولی کو میری بھر دو ورنہ کہے گی دنیا جولی کو میری بھر دو میرا جولی کو میری بھر دو ورنہ کہے گی دنیا ایسے سخی کا منگتا ایسے سخی کا منگتا پھرتا ہے مارا مارا سرکار غوثِ اعظم نظرِ کرم خدا را سرکار غوثِ اعظم نظرِ کرم خدا را یہ تیرا کرم ہے یا غوث یہ تیرا کرم ہے یا غوث جو بنا لیا جو اپنا بنا لیا ہے کہاں مجھ سا یہ کمینہ کہاں مجھ سا یہ کمینہ کہاں سلسلہ تمہارا سرکار غوثِ اعظم نظرِ سرکار غوثِ اعظم نظرِ کرم خدا را سرکار غوثِ اعظم نظرِ کرم خدا
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سبحان اللہ عز و جل and very beautifully read mashallah عز و جل Harumbe, we're talking about Sayyidi Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi's love for Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, before we went on to the kalam, you mentioned about, you know, how we should live, the love between Allah Azza wa Jal and, you know, the awliya ikram. Who is a wali Allah? How can someone be a wali Allah? And what is that love that you were talking about?
Ji, mashallah, I think that's very important because to understand the love and the relationship between Allah Azza wa Jal and these very pious servants of Allah Azza wa Jal, we need to put it into context because of perhaps sometimes our lack of knowledge, we don't know about the walis of Allah Azza wa Jal. We don't know what the glorious Quran Pak says about these amazing people. And we think, well, where has this come from? Mm-hmm. So it's very important to put it into context. And let me start by reading to you an ayah mubarakah which really sums it up. It's Surah Yunus Sharif, parts 11. And there are three ayah mubarakahs that really give you a definition of this.
Subhanallah.
Translation from Kanzul Iman. Indeed, upon the friends of Allah is neither any fear nor any grief. Those who have accepted faith and adopted piety, there are good tidings for them in the life of this world and the hereafter. The words of Allah cannot change. This is the supreme success.
Subhanallah.
Now, in relation to these, this particular ayah mubarakah and these ayah mubarakah, Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that here the awliya of Allah refer to the righteous people who make others remember Allah when you see them. And this is a very important definition, because this is a hadith of Mubarak as well. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the awliya are those who make you remember Allah azawajal when you see them.
MashaAllah.
So this is their great status. Now these are friends of Allah azawajal. These are pious people of Allah azawajal. And they are always, the glorious Quran tells us, Surah Anfal, that his awliya are pious indeed. These people have got rid of their desires of the heart. They don't do anything because of their desires of the heart. Even Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu anhu, when you read the biography, Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu anhu themselves say that as when I was a child and other children were playing, as I used to step towards that, I used to hear a voice from the unseen say, "You've not been created to play."
Subhanallah.
And he was kept away from that. Now, some viewers may be thinking, well, what does the glorious Quran say? Well, we know that the glorious Quran is full of examples of the walis of Allah Azza wa Jal and their amazing power. For example, Hawsab, you know, Hazrat Sayyidina Maryam radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, was a great waliyah of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then we know the famous waqia of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he sat in his grand court and everybody's there, and the queen of Sheba, Bilqis, was on her way. And he said, "Who can bring me the throne?" Now this throne was truly amazing. I mean, it was a massive throne. And what she'd done is she'd locked it away in seven doors, the scholars write. So up stood a jinn. And the jinn said, I can get it here. And Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam, with his great wisdom and the eye of Nubuwwah, said, "How long are you going to take?" I mean, you know, if a jinn gets up and he says, "I'm strong and I'm trustworthy and I can do it," but the Nabis of Allah azawajal are just out of this world. This amazing Nabi of Allah azawajal said, "How long are you going to take?" And he says, "Before you get up from your seat." So the scholars interpreted that as saying that before this gathering finishes, that's not fast enough. And he knew, the Nabi of Allah Azawajal knew that he had somebody in his court who could do it a lot faster than that. Because you don't say no to somebody who comes up with such a proposal. Because they say that the takht was in Yemen. And Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam was in Jerusalem in Bayt al-Maqdis. So that's a long way. Now when a jinn says, "I'll get it in half an hour, 40 minutes or an hour,"
that is still quick as well.
It's just still quick. Yeah. But look at the Nabi of Allah, he knows. You think you're good, I've got one better than you in my, you know, ummat. Yeah? So then Hazrat Asif ibn Barkhiya, rahmatullah alayhi, stands up. And he says, "I can get it within the twinkling of an eye." And before the twinkling of an eye, the takht is there. And he says, "This is because of the knowledge that my Allah has given me." Now the scholars write that this was a wali of the ummat of Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam. So this is a wali under the reign of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam. Can you imagine the power of the walis of the ummat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because Sulaiman alayhi salam is the amazing prophet who on the night of Mi'raj was stood behind Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is, the glorious Quran is full of examples. Then you've got people of the cave. Sahabi Kahf.
Sahabi Kahf, ji.
And those were walis of Allah Azawajal. And you've got so many examples in the glorious Quran.
You told us the name of Asif bin Barkhiya, who was the human Sahabi of Imam Sulaiman alayhi salam. What about the jinn? What was his name?
His name was Ifrit.
Ifrit, mashallah. That's good. It's just passing, you know.
Jazakallah. Do I get a prize?
Loads of prizes today.
No, you got loads. You know, you diverted the topic anyway. There's something beautiful that came to mind while Harunba was mentioning. You know that incident when Sayyidina Asif bin Barkhiya radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I can bring that throne within the
twinkling of the eye,
or some people say blinking of the eye. Now here, scholars have written a lot of discussion on this. What does that mean? Yeah. So does it mean when the eyes blink? Yeah. So one blink, then it's there. That itself is really fast. But some people, some scholars have written that here it means, you know, if you stare at something, then you know after a moment the eyeball just moves slightly. So before the eyeball moves, basically. It will be there.
Allah.
That's what scholars have written.
You see, a lot of people don't know.
So this is before the blink, actually.
This is the power of a wali of Allah. And this is what the glorious Quran says. Anybody who denies the walis of Allah Azza wa Jal, his iman is in serious danger, because the glorious Quran testifies to these people. And so this is why. And so what we have is there are valis in every ummah. And the valis of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, without doubt, because of the blessings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, are the best amongst the valis of Allah azza wa jal. And then, out of all of those valis, one of the couplets that our Shoaib bhai was reading was that, you know, Shah Bane Meera Bane Hedula, Vali Barati, to that effect. What that was basically referring to was, through time, Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala, his status in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal rose to such amazing heights that Allah Azza wa Jal commanded that this wali of mine is going to be the chief of all the walis of the world, and that his feet is going to be on the necks of the awliya-i kiram. And the awliya, wherever they were in the world, they lowered their heads and said yes.
Right. Tawfiq, but you were going to mention something.
Yeah, I want to just add on some points we were talking about early on. Some ways of increasing the love of Allah Ta'ala in our hearts. And one we mentioned before was to recite the Quran and build that strong connection with the glorious Quran. Second is performing voluntary salah. You have your fard salah, yeah, faraiz, wajibat. That's something that you do anyway. You have to do as a Muslim. They're there. But as a Muslim, when you offer the voluntary, the nafal salah, which wasn't obligatory on you, they were optional for you. So you're praying now. Why are you praying? You're praying purely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And this is a very unique part that, you know, awliya Allah, you know, really make special arrangement for this.
Yeah.
For example, with each salah, you know, we have our fard rakat, but with that we have sunnah, we have nawafil. So the awliya Allah, the pious Muslims, what do? They make sure they pray the sunnah and nawafil as well.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah? And not just this, there's a famous saying that, you know, like we generally have 5 prayers, don't we?
Jee.
The awliya Allah, they have 11 prayers.
MashaAllah.
Yeah, and how is that? Because 5 obviously daily prayers, then you have tahajjud, early morning, so no one's awake, you know, you got up off your bed,
MashaAllah.
You've offered your namaz, then you have after sunrise the nafal prayers of Salatul Ishraq and Salatul Duha, then you have Salatul Awabin, Tahiyyatul Masjid, Tahiyyatul Wudu, and these are optional prayers. Why are they there? Yeah, there's also loads of blessings and, you know, fadail for this, but the key thing is these are things that draw a person more closer to Allah Ta'ala.
Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak rahmatullah alayhi used to offer 1,000 nawafil every night as well.
Allah Akbar, Allah.
You know, sometimes, you know, it's just a beggar's belief. Where did they, you know, we ask ourselves, how did they get that time? It wasn't about time, it was about jazbah and passion, wasn't it? And
sometimes you think, you know, if someone offers 1,000 nafil, you know, in one night, if someone ever tried, you know, like a marathon, you know, reading the nafil in one night, especially the big nights, you know, the Shab-e Barat and them such nights.
Yeah.
Some people have the habit of reading the nafil prayer. What they do, they try to read 100 nafil in that night or whatever they can. They will know how long it takes. So, you know, it's a bit difficult for us to imagine that, hey, 1,000 nafil in one night, how do they do that? This is something that is beyond our understanding.
So,
it's a karamat of these great people. Also, there's barakat, there's blessings in their time.
The blessings.
Subhanallah. For example, time is same. You know, if you look at the clock, the time's ticking. Yeah, it's same for everyone. But for one person, the time, you know, is not moving forward. You know, he's struggling. Yeah, it seems like 1 hour. It seems like it's like 6 hours. You know, it's taking 6 hours to pass 1 hour. Mm. For someone, you know, he passes 3 hours, but he thinks it's only been half an hour.
It's also about practice, though, isn't it, Tawfiq bhai? Because say, for example, you're going to run a 10-mile marathon, yeah? Now, if you got up one day and said, right, I'm going to run 10 miles, you'd never be able to do it. But if day in, day out, every day you practice and you started off with running a mile every day for a week and then increased it to 2, increased it to 3, after 10 or 12 weeks, you'd be able to run 10 miles. Now, if I came along and suddenly said, how can Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam read 1,000 nafils a night? I want to do it as well. Unless I build up to that, I'm not going to be able to do it. And to me, that's going to be impossible. If somebody said to me, somebody can run 15 miles without stopping, that's impossible. But people do it. Why? Because it's the practice. Now, coming back to the point you mentioned, it's a very, very important point, mashallah. Sahih Bukhari Sharif, and this is a hadith of Mubarakah that we really need to understand to get in our hearts and minds the true concept of a wali of Allah Azza wa Jalla and where the power comes from. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah Azza wa Jalla has said, none of my bondsmen, my servants, has sought closeness to me with any better act than carrying out the faraiz, the obligatory acts. And he continues to gain closeness to me by means of nafl until I start to love him. When I make him my beloved bondsman, I become his ears through which he hears. I become his eyes through which he sees. I become his hands through which he holds. And I become his legs through which he walks. And then he begs me, and I surely grant him. And if he seeks my protection, I will surely grant him protection. SubhanAllah. So what these people do is, as you were describing, as Hafiz was describing, they spend their days and nights pleasing Allah Azza wa Jal. To the extent, it's like, you know, when we all go through a phase where, alhamdulillah, we're praying our salah, we're reading the Quran, especially in Ramzan, and you feel that spiritual strength. And you think, yeah, if I was to ask for something, Allah Azza wa Jal would grant it to me. If I was to do something, I'm sure I'll be successful if it's the right thing. And you've got that kind of confidence, don't you? And it's not so much, it's more confidence in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. These people have spent their lives for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They've given up their desires. And so the creator of the heaven, this is Hadith Qudsi. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah says, when they ask me, if Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala makes dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then you get these saintly miracles that we have seen. And you know, for a wali of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I'm sure one of the episodes we will cover some of the saintly miracles. But for a wali of Allah Azza wa Jalla, actually, a saintly miracle is something very minor. It is their amal, their acts of obedience in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, which hold high stead. There was a famous narration. A person came to Hazrat Sayyidina Data Ali Hajwari rahmatullahi alayhi, and Habasabi said, I want to spend some time with you. So he spent some time in the court of Hazrat Data Ganj Bakhsh Ali Hajwari rahmatullahi alayhi, and after some time he decided to leave. And as he was leaving, he said, okay, I've not seen anything. And they said, what do you mean you haven't seen anything?
Junaid Baghdadi.
Is it Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi? And he said, I haven't seen anything. And they said, why haven't you, what do you mean you haven't seen anything? He said, well, I haven't seen any saintly miracle. Yeah? So what he was expecting is, you know, Pir Sahib is going to fly in the wind, and Pir Sahib is going to suddenly produce food from somewhere or do something else. And they said to him one question, and this is to be noted. What they said was this. Said, in the time that you've spent with me, and it wasn't a short time, it was a few years. In the time that you've spent with me, have you ever seen me acting outside the Quran and Sunnah? Seen me do that? He said, no, Hazrat, your life is in accordance with the Quran and Sunnah. He said, this is the biggest saintly miracle that I can show you.
MashaAllah. Allah. Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel. Next segment is Harun Bhai is just going to mention a few words of wisdom of Sayyidina Ghawse Pak Rahmatullahi Ta'ala.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Gee, I think one of the important things to remember about Hazrat Sayyidi Ghawse Azam Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi is this, that as well as his great saintly miracles, as well as his amazing worship in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, as well as some of the stories that we hear about the thieves that he reverted back to the right path, all of these are amazing. But one of the greatest assets and one of the greatest things that Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala has left for us is the great treasure of knowledge. You know, when Hazur Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala used to do the beyond, thousands used to listen and gain hidayat and gain guidance from it. And one of his saintly miracles was that those at the front of this ijtima of thousands could hear him the same way as those at the back. It was truly, truly amazing. And that was stemmed from the fact that once he said, in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I don't have that ability to kind of do the beyonds. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam put their luabid dahan mubarak, their saliva mubarak into their mouth. And after that, Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu ta'ala, status and his amazing powers went. Now, his books are important. They're all over the world at different universities, Hafizab. And people have got, these universities have got departments that study just the books of Sayyidi Ghawse Azam radiallahu anhu, and they find them so amazing. Now, I've got a very special book, Revelations of the Unseen. And this, the scholars write that this is a book that people read at the Tahajjud because it really puts you in touch with your inner self. It strips away all the unnecessary things and it builds you down to the core and it puts you in touch with your spiritual side and Allah Azawajal. And there are lots of discourses in this. And what we decided was that in the next 5 or 6 days, we're going to do a discourse, one of the lectures that Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave in this. Some are very short, but very deep. Some are a bit longer, but explain things because of our kind of lack of understanding. So Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains it in very easy terms so we can understand it. The one today is truly one to think about. Let me read to you what Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu writes. He writes that three things are indispensable for a believer in all conditions of life. Three things are indispensable for a believer in all conditions of life. He should keep the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. One. Two, he should abstain from the forbidden things. Three, he should be pleased with the decree and providence of Allah Azza wa Jal. Thus, the least that is expected of a believer is that he should not be without these three things. He should make up his mind for these and talk to himself about these and keep his organs engaged in fulfilling these commands.
SubhanAllah.
Now this is very, very important. That's it, that's the sermon in itself. But the depth of that, you could write a book on it. It is amazing. The first thing is that sometimes we believe that we're pious. The first and fundamental thing that Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala says is that you've got to look at how you are fulfilling the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, do you, for example, a lot of people think the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal here refer to namaz, they refer to roza, they refer to zakat, they refer to hajj. But as well as that, those farz alhum, those obligatory things in our life, which we must learn. For example, if you're doing business, it is important and incumbent and an obligation on you to learn the ahkamit tijarat, the rules for business that Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set. If you're getting married, it is very important for you to learn what the rules relate to a married life are. If you've got children, it is very important for you to learn what the rules are and what the commands are in relation to your children, in relation to your household. Every aspect of life, Islam is so beautiful that it deals with every aspect and it says these are the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, so you should keep those. Then next, and Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi emphasizes this. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that doing good deeds is actually easy.
Subhanallah.
You know what the difficult part is? The difficult part is giving up sin. And so Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the master in this field, he says that one of the fundamental things that you need to keep your eyes on is you need to abstain from forbidden things. What Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, stay away from, you stay away from. None of this, you know, well, char paise, you know, you're making something, it doesn't matter if it's halal or haram. You go out, you know, you see something you shouldn't be looking at, chalo ji chalega. No. Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala says, abstain from forbidden things. When it comes to these phones, this internet, you will be bombarded with filth, but it's you, up to you to protect your eyes. And then the third, that you should be pleased with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That this is what we discussed Hafsab the other day as well. One of the problems we have is that we set in our mind an ideal life up there, and all our life what we do is we don't enjoy what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. We don't contemplate and be thankful. We always look at number 10 in the row and he's got a mansion, he's got a Ferrari, and we think, what have I got? Yet, whereas if you looked below you, the way Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, never look at the one above you, look at the ones below you, you would be grateful. And then whatever befalls you is from Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes. You know, there's something simple can really make you understand. And sometimes some people are kind of mountains of strength. Something happens, what do? We start complaining, we start moaning, we start doing this. And some people are so brilliant. And when something like this happens, it's the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. The problem we have is we don't accept things as the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so if you keep these three things in mind, Sayyidi Ghawsi Azam radiallahu ta'ala says, then, and this is the last point I'll make is this. So he should make up his mind. You need to convince yourself and then talk to himself about it, that these are my obligations. and then engage the body in fulfilling that.
MashaAllah. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, that brings us to the end of our program today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The reviver of deen, the reviver of deen, the reviver of deen, the reviver.